Oops, hold on. Okay. Is there an official representative of Yeshiva University here? You saw me wearing a jacket? Okay.
That means I can leave.
All right. Now we're good. Okay. Okay. Hi. Can I? Can I move this? Here. I should get a lectern. Okay. Okay. Hi, Ty. How are you doing, Ty? Can I give you a little something? Can I ask for a volunteer from the audience? Anyone? Young at heart? Give these out. You're young at heart. Okay. Okay.
I got a lot of room.
Oh, yeah, big time. Good, Baruch Hashem, how are you? Okay, I need to ask you guys a favor.
Yes.
I have over there a bag of that I just picked up from someone across the street that I have to remember to bring home with me after my shiur. So everyone, after my shiur ends, remind me to bring home my bag, not to leave it here. Okay? Thank you. Yeah, yes. Front row, this is like more than front row. This is like the cage in the front of the rock concert where you pay $1,000 for a ticket inside the cage. Kasha. Is this working? Hi, good to see you. Okay. Welcome, everyone. I hope we'll all excuse the crowding, but Baruch Hashem, Torah is popular. So I want to discuss a little tonight what we've been doing the last 6.5 days, 6 and change days, Sukkot. What Chag HaSukkot is ultimately all about, starting with a famous question raised by all the Mefarshim that I'm sure we've heard asked and answered many times. Let's go to the Pasuk number one, then you'll all tell me the question. Leman yid udorotichem, makor number one. Kiva Sukkot of Shavti Ibn Israel, Botsiyot Tami Yetzisrayim, and Yashem Lugichem. Everyone knows, says in the Chumash, why do we have Chag HaSukkot? Why do we live in Sukkot for 7 days? To remind ourselves of what happened in the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. That we went through the desert for 40 years, and Hashem caused us to dwell in Sukkot. Hashem somehow brought us in temporary lodgings through the Midbar Sinai for 40 years. And we remember that, we commemorate that annually by moving to a sukkah for 7 days on Chag HaSukkot. Now the obvious question that bothers everyone from time immemorial is, if the reason we do this is to remember the story of the Exodus of Yitziat Mitzrayim, then we should be doing it in Pesach, right? We should just have one big Chag in the 15th of Nisan, where we eat matzah in the sukkah for 7 days, and that would be the most appropriate. We already have a Chag that reminds us of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Why is it so important to have this Chag exactly now in the fall season, which doesn't seem to be its natural, the natural time for celebrating? I want to go through, perhaps, depending on how you count, 4 or 5 answers. Start with the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra, I think I said, anyone remember what the title of this year was? There was a lot of alliteration, I think. A lot of alliteration. Something about history.
Do you mind if I read it?
Yes, please.
Sukkot, ancient history and timeless
theology. That was it. Timeless theology. That's not alliteration. It's a T and a TH. All right, whatever. It looks like alliteration. That's going to have to be good enough for tonight. So, ancient history, says the Ibn Ezra, the answer is in the history. Number two. Kiva Sukkot, we're perhaps familiar with, well, if we peek ahead a little, but perhaps we are aware of this, in Makor number 10 and 11, has a machloket Tanaim, what kind of Sukkot we're talking about. Kiva Sukkot, Oshavdi B'nai Yisrael, if you peek ahead to 10, Anani Kavod Hayu Divur Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer says they were clouds of glory. You remember we all learned in kindergarten the miraculous clouds that surrounded, right? One on top and one on the bottom to kill all the snakes and scorpions. One on the top to protect us from the sun and the elements, and on all four sides to protect us from our enemies that protected us in the Midbar. Rabbi Akiva Omer Sukkot Mamash Asulahem. He says, no, it meant actual huts. I mean, they traveled, they couldn't bring houses with them. That was before they invented RVs. So they had to build huts as they went through the desert for 40 years. In Makor 11, we won't read it together. In Makor 11, it happens to be the exact same machloket, just in a different source in the Sifra, which is the Medrash, except that it switches what Rabbi Eliezer says and what Rabbi Akiva says. Okay, that will be significant in a little while. Let's come back. Ibn Ezra, number two. We're familiar with the Ibn Ezra by reputation. He was a Pashtun, right? He believed in Pshuta Shel Mikra. He didn't like fancy Midrashim that just added random things to the text. So which opinion do you think he should prefer? That it's referring to the Anane HaKavod or Sukkot Mamash, regular huts? Obviously huts. So what does the Ibn Ezra say? Kiva Sukkot Shel Yosim Achar She'avru Yam Suf Sukkot. After they crossed Yam Suf, they made Sukkot. And in Midbar Sinai, where they were for a year before they went to the other places. He says they made Sukkot when they crossed the Yam Suf and dwelled in the various places, as all traveling camps do. They live in huts. He says, this holiday also reminds us of Yitziat Mitzrayim. V'yim yishal shoel, if a questioner asked, like many questioners did, lama b'tishrei zot ha-mitzvah, why do we celebrate in Tishrei if it reminds us, after we cross the Yom Suf, for the last day of Pesach? Why do we celebrate in Tishrei? Yesh la'shiv ki anan Hashem hayal ha-machaneh yomam. This is pshat. It does say in the Pasuk that there was a cloud of Hashem by day on top of the camp. V'ashemesh lo yakeim. We had protection from the sun, because there was a cloud that protected us from the sun during the day. So in the summer, we didn't need it. You go in the summer, okay, maybe not all of us are quite as outdoorsy as the next guy, but, you know, imagine we're just a few steps more outdoorsy than we actually are. You're traveling in the summer, you have shade during the day, what do you do at night? As my kids say, tachat kipat hashamayim, you put a sleeping bag on the ground. and you sleep. What do you need a hut for? Only in the fall they started to make huts, thatched huts, because it started to get cold outside. Hashem's cloud protected them. In Pshat, there's a cloud might have protected them from the sun, but at the night there was no cloud, and therefore they needed protection from the cold. So the Ibn Ezra says historically they left Mitzrayim in the spring in March, but they didn't get around to building huts till it started to get cold out in October. So we celebrate what they did 3,000 however many years ago when they built huts exactly in the fall. Okay, could be. It's a bit of a speculation, the Ibn Ezra, and also it doesn't match the halacha. Because if you look in the halacha, if you skip ahead, I apologize for number 12, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, basukot teshvu shabbat yomim, etc., ki vasukot toshavti b'nei Israel. Right? First he quotes the pasuk, live in a sukkah 7 days, because Hashem says, I put the Jews in Sukkot. Heim anone kavo, these are the clouds of glory, sheikifam behem levayakim shav v'shemesh, that protected them from the heat, from the sun. It was anone kavo. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, why does the Shulchan Aruch have to paskin? Sounds like just a question of Midrash, not a question of halacha. Does the Shulchan Aruch paskin, I don't know, like what the stories with Avram Avinu and with Lot? So the answer probably is, the Mefarshim explain, because the Torah says, Leman yedu darotechem, you have to sit in Sukkot in order that you know the story. And the Bach, on the side of the Torah, comments that you're only yotzei the mitzvah, even though most mitzvahs, we can fulfill the mitzvah even if we don't know the reason behind it. Good thing, because some of them, well, never, we actually don't know the reason behind it at all. Go figure out what the reason behind Parah Aduma or these other things is. But this mitzvah, since it says, in order that you know, you only fulfill the mitzvah if you know the story that it's referring to, if you know what it's commemorating. Therefore, the Shulchan Aruch has to paskin, in order to fulfill the mitzvah, we have to remember that Hashem gave us clouds of glory when we left Mitzrayim. That seems to be against the Ibn Ezra. One of the things which we'll try to tackle a little later on tonight is, how does that fit in with the Pshat at all? Is that just something made up? Is that just an idea someone came up with? Or does that have roots in Pshat as well? But for now, let's go back and say Ibn Ezra has a nice try. He speculated that they actually built the Sukkot in the fall. Could be. But in any case, that doesn't match the way we paskin halachically, because we paskin is referring to clouds of glory. And the clouds of glory, the Anani HaKavod, were there from the very beginning. So let's try again. Says the Torah, the 3, 4, and 5, some of the most famous Rishonim give technical explanations why we'd want to remember something not on the exact day that it happened. Says the Torah, the Afal Pishay of Sun Mitzrayim B'chodesh Nisan Lo Tzivanu Lasot Tzuka V'Oto Azman L'Fisha Yimot HaKayetz V'Derech Kol Adam Lasot Tzuka L'Tzel V'Lo Itani Keret Asiyotenu Bahem Sheheim Mitzvat HaBorei Yitbarach. Says, why did Hashem not tell us to build a sukkah in Pesach? Because Pesach, you have to understand the Torah correctly. It's not that Pesach and Sukkot have such different weather. Pesach and Sukkot have fairly similar weather, right? They're both around the equinox. But Pesach is the beginning of the summer. When do people put up a little tarp in their backyard for shade so they could sit outside? In the spring, so they could use it all summer while it's dry and nice outside. Right, so if someone saw us building Sukkot in the spring, what would they say? Oh, the Israelis build nice little huts with thatched roofs every spring so that they can have someplace nice to sit outside and have some shade when they sit outside all summer long. Just like many people, they have big umbrellas, they put tarps in their backyard in the spring and keep it there all summer. So then no one would realize we were doing it l'shma. It wouldn't be obvious we were doing it for a mitzvah. No one would get the point. So therefore, Hashem commanded us to do it in the seventh month, which is the time of rain. It's not really supposed to rain in Sukkot. My personal interpretation is that this year it didn't rain on Sukkot, it only drizzled, so not to worry. But clearly it's supposed to rain right after Sukkot. So if anyone builds a hut in their backyard right at the beginning of the rainy season when it's about to rain for 6 months, so that doesn't make any sense at all. Why would anyone, Davka, build something for shade to sit out in their backyard when it's about to rain for 6 months? There must be some hidden deep reason. Everyone leaves their backyard and goes home. Then it's obvious to everyone that we're doing for a mitzvah. Then it works. The reason we moved it from Pesach to Sukkot is because, and Pesach wouldn't work, it would just look like the Derech Olam, the natural way of life. On Sukkot, it looks weird, Why invest all the time to build something that you're not going to be able to use for 6 months? You're building at the wrong time. Must be, we're doing it for a mitzvah. And everyone asks why you're doing it. And we'll explain to them, it's because God took care of us 40 years in the desert in Midbar Sinai. And then they will understand the history behind it. The Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam, gives a much more practical reason, which is, again, based on, not just based on weather, but based on ancient lifestyle. Anyone know what they used to do in the time of the year of Sukkot, agriculturally? What? They would gather in all the produce. Okay, after you gather in all the produce, what would you do for a little while? You would have a big party, or at least have a vacation, right? After that would be vacation time or party time of the year. So says the Rambam, number 4, V'yamnam Sukkot asher kavana bo asason v'asimcha u'shvat yamim. Sukkot, which is to be happy, is 7 days, and they should parseima inyan, in order that it become well known. If it was 1 day, no one would notice. 7 days, people start noticing we're doing something special. Why is it in this time of the year? The Torah explained. Because you've gathered in all your produce. What the Torah means to say is, it's a time of rest when you're free from work. It's the first time of the year when you're free from work. On Pesach, it's already the beginning of the harvest, the barley harvest. People are very busy. Wait, can you eat matzah during the barley harvest? Yes, eating matzah doesn't take a lot of time and doesn't take you away from work. It's not a big distraction. So what's the difference? As a matter of fact, you can work more if you eat matzah, because it's quicker to bake. Shavuot is very busy with the wheat harvest. And all summer long, they're busy gathering in the produce. All of a sudden, now we're on vacation. And the Rambam quotes here, Kedarka Makodesh. He quotes Aristotle in the 9th chapter of the Nicomachean Ethics, who explained that all the ancient nations would have a big vacation time and a big holiday in the fall when they finished their yearly work. Aristotle wrote that in the old days they would bring all the karbonot and have all the meetings and all the big gatherings after they finished gathering all the produce, the pirot and the fruit, as if they were doing it because now they had time. Zelishono, that's what Aristotle wrote. And he says Aristotle's right. He found the answer in Aristotle. Everyone has their big holidays when they have free time when they finish the work of the year. So that's what he says. Why do we do it now and not during Pesach, not in the spring? In the spring, we're too busy to go. We have to build the sukkah. We have to live it. We have to go eat in the sukkah. It takes us away from our work. It's distracting. We don't have time for such a big party in the spring, so we delay it to the fall when we have a lot of time. Also, it's a nice time where you can handle living in a sukkah. It's not too hot. There's no rain to annoy you. Okay, that could have been the spring also. Spring and fall are both nice times. But in the spring, we're too busy. In the fall, we have time. Okay, that's what Aristotle says. The Rambam thinks it's a nice shot explanation. You know, to my insides, it's a little too shot of an explanation. Like, okay, the only reason that Sukkot is when it is, the only reason we're celebrating this whole holiday is because, as Aristotle said, we have time off from work when we used to be agricultural laborers and we're done with the harvest. But that's what the Rambam thinks. The Rambam likes very, very simple, rational explanations. The Ramban gives another very simple, rational explanation. And that's number 5. Kiva Sukkot Hoshavti B'nei Yisrael Anane HaKavod Loshon Rashi. Rashi says it means Anane HaKavod. V'anachem B'inai Derech HaPshat. And he says that makes sense. It's Pshat. It doesn't just mean they lived in huts. It means God made them special clouds of glory, special miracles. Why do you think this is Pshat? Ki tziva sheyidu adarot et kol ma'aseh Hashem gadol asher asayim ha'am lafli. Because the whole commandment is that all generations should know the great things Hashem did to them that were miraculous. Sheshachan otam anane kavod kvodo sukkah, that He caused them to dwell, He made them clouds of glory like a sukkah. Meaning He says, if they just lived in huts, why would that be pshat? Like, why celebrate living in huts for a long time? Makes more sense as pshat, even though it's a miracle. Miracles also pshat. Like in the Chumash, miracles are pshat, right? A lot of miracles happen. Remember the 10 plagues and the Kriyat Yam Sof, right? Not so crazy to say it's talking about a miracle. And it makes more sense to say it's talking about something really, really cool. Something really memorable, really worth talking about. Living in huts is nice, but it probably means Hashem made us miraculous coverings, miraculous buildings of Anane HaKavod, because that would be something worth remembering. Otherwise, why remember through the generations? Okay, then he goes on a little. He says, "Inyan shemar varshem and kol machonat yom mikra'ah nan yomam v'yashan v'noga ish lavad lailihel kavod kupav v'suka tel etzel yomam." Quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu, which says, "In akhir yom, in the Messianic age, Hashem will build a sukkah for us." Obviously, it doesn't mean a hut with a little schach lanetzach on it. It means he'll make some glorious, amazing, miraculous shelter for us. Okay, just skipping a little. Let's read on. Veshikar pirish anan Hashem aleim yomam v'amareish laila amar stanki asukah shavti. And since it already explained that Hashem's cloud was with them and the fire is with them, so it just said sukkah, and we're supposed to know that means the cloud of glory. Okay, excellent question. Okay, now I owe you the answer to that question. If the pshat is cloud, still why does it say Sukkot? I owe you the answer to that, but I'm not going to pay you yet. I'm not going to pay you till two more interpretations. Now, he says, "Sheasith lemanani kavod kvodis Sukkot lagin aleihem." I made the manani kavod as Sukkot. V'hinei tziva. He says, but why in the fall? V'hinei tziva. The Ramban says, "Betchila yimod hakama b'zichron yitzivim sarim b'chotchev moado," in the vernal equinox, the beginning of the summer. He commanded us to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim in the actual time it happened. And he made us remember, he commanded us to commemorate the long-term long-range miracle, which is for 40 years in the desert he gave us on that day of Kavod. So what day of the year could we have celebrated that? Any year, any day. It happened all year long for 40 years. So when did he tell us to do it? In the autumnal equinox, the beginning of the winter. What is the Ramban trying to say? I think the Ramban trying to say also something very poshut. We could have remembered the Sukkot any time during the year. It happened day after day after day for 40 years. But Hashem was smart. He says, I don't want them to forget about it. After 6 months, they might forget. So in the spring, I'll give him Pesach, they'll remember. 6 months go by, give him Sukkot, they'll remember. And that way, every 6 months, they'll have a reminder of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Okay, then he goes on to quote Ibn Ezra, according to his opinion. What we've seen so far, before we dig a little deeper, we haven't gotten very deep yet. What we've seen so far is very, very pshat kind of answers. Very simple, rational, poshut kind of answers. Why we celebrate Sukkot in the wrong season. Number one, the Ibn Ezra says, they actually only built the huts when it got cold out. If it rent huts, and sukkos mamish, and they built it in the fall. Number two, the Torah says, we want people to know it's not just for night shade, it's not just for convenience, it's not just lifestyle, it's religion, it's something special for Hashem. We want them to notice, therefore we build it in a season when no one else in the world would ever build a pergola, to show that it's for a mitzvah. Number three, the Rambam says, based on Aristotle, because now we have a lot of time to have a party, to have Zman Simchateinu, to go live in a sukkah and celebrate, because we're done with the agricultural work. Number four, the Ramban says, well, you want to have it in one half of the year and the other half of the year. So every part of the year, you have a reminder of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. And it's okay, since we live in Sukkot all year long, it could have been any day. Okay, those are all nice explanations. What they all have in common so far is that they're accepting the premise. The premise is that what's this holiday about? And not that I'm going to deny the premise. The question is whether you could add to the premise. You can't deny the premise. It's a pasuk in the Torah. The holiday is about Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Therefore, it should have been in Nisan. Why is it in Tishrei? We have four very nice, poshut answers. Now, however, I want to go a little deeper in two directions, as time will allow us. First of all, with Rashbam. I think this Rashbam is very, very important because it's really Alpi Pshat, a very important way of understanding what this, not just why we celebrate it this week, but what we're doing in the first place with this whole Sukkot thing. And also, I think it's the Yesod of Judaism. Says the Rashbam, number 6, L'man Yidudu Retechem, Pshuto K'divrei Omer B'Masech Tzuka Sukkah Mamash. Okay, the Pashup Pshat he thinks is that it means Hatz. V'zet Tamul Shal Dover, and this is the reason. Chag HaSukkot Taseh Lecha, he says, look in the Chumash. What does the Chumash say? Make Chag HaSukkot. When you've gathered in your grain and your wine, right? We know the grains, by the way, just a little old-fashioned agriculture. Anyone remember Megillat Ruth, right? Remember all the way back, Megillat Ruth? Those of us who stayed up all night, that's what we slept through before we slept through the Kriyat HaTorah. The Megillat Ruth was the Ktzir. The harvest was on Shavuot. What took so long? Did it take 5 months for the harvest? So the answer is they had to harvest. Then, after they harvested, if you remember the Mishnah Shabbos with all the Avot Melacha, they had to thresh it, and they had to winnow it, and they had to separate the wheat from the chaff, etc., with all those melachot, and sort it out, and then they had to lay it out to dry in the sun, because they didn't have proper storage in those days. What would keep the grain from rotting all year long, right? There were no refrigerators, no vacuum packed. What would keep the grain fresh all year long? What keeps it fresh? We know in the supermarket. If we want something that's not fresh produce, has to be either in the refrigerator section, which they didn't have, or like canned or vacuum packed, they didn't have, or dried. If you have dry beans or grains or rice, then it'll last forever. So they had to keep it all summer long and spread it out and make sure that it dried. Then at the end of the summer, when it was all dried and ready for storage, so they could have what to eat all year long, because there wasn't going to be another crop for another year, they would bring it in the house. That was Sukkot, that was the end. Mi garnecha, mi yikvecha. Everyone knows this is the grape harvest. As I drove today from Ma'arat HaMachpelah to my house, I don't know if anyone been at Ma'arat HaMachpelah this week. They had a big concert and everything on Sunday and Monday. I am the kind of person who would much rather have no traffic and ample parking and miss the concert. So I went today. And on the way back from Ma'arat HaMachpelah, driving back to my house, every Dalet Amot along the road was an Arab selling grapes that he just cut from his vineyard. This is the season. This is the grape harvest. So miyikvecha, you cut your grapes, right? Right before Sukkot, you cut your grapes and you put them in the yekev, in the press, and you squish them and you put the juice into barrels and you're done. Now you're done for the year. So Aristotle said it just had to do with having time for a celebration. But the Rashbam says something a little deeper. Another pasuk says when you gather the produce of the land, uvatecham leim kotuv. The Dagan Tirosh Yitzhar. Now our houses are full of everything good. All the good food, everything. Imagine, it's hard to put ourselves in the shoes of our ancestors, right? The Torah was written for us. But it was written in the language of our ancestors 3,000 years ago who were farmers in Eretz Yisrael. Right? So, what happens? You work all year. And you daven hard all year. And finally, it works. And you get all your produce in one fell swoop, right? You get almost all your yearly income. Okay, if you have an olive crop, that's a slightly different season. But in one fell swoop, you get your entire yearly income, and it's not just your yearly income. People worked, it was subsistence farming. All of life was subsistence in those days. You worked for bread to eat, so you wouldn't starve. You got your life. Imagine, it doesn't work nowadays, like we work, we get a salary every 2 weeks or every month or whenever we get our salary deposited, right? But imagine you work all year and you daven hard and you sweat and you struggle all year, and then once a year you get your entire salary in the bank. Or imagine, I don't know what to compare it to, who here has a startup, right? Modern Orthodox Jews. There's about, 70 people in the room. There have to be at least 20 with a startup here. So imagine you have a startup. You've worked, you've sweated, you've sacrificed for 5 years. All of a sudden, the buyout or the IPO or whatever they call these things, are my terms right? Yes. Yeah? Right? All of a sudden, you get bought out, you get your IPO, and $10 million are in the bank. It paid off. Your money's in the bank now. The Rashbam says that's how people felt every year at Sukkot time. So what? Sounds like a good feeling to me. What's the problem? So the Rashbam says, well, you tell me what the problem is. What's the problem? What's the problem when you have your money in the bank? When you're set, when you're done, you made it. What's the problem when you made it? What does it say all over Sefer Devarim? The problem is, in the desert for 40 years, the Jews never made it. Right? Not only didn't we have our money in the bank, you didn't even have tomorrow's bread on the table, only today's. That was the man, right? You couldn't even save it till tomorrow. Why couldn't you save it till tomorrow? Because why should you feel like you had it in the bank? God gives you it as a miracle. Ask him for it every day. All of a sudden, you have all the money in the bank. I did it. I deserve it. All of a sudden, you don't need God anymore. Right? There's no atheist in a foxhole. Right? They used to say. Who remembers what a foxhole is? This is irrelevant, but just for the young people. Once upon a time, in wars, there were like armies on two sides, and they shot at each other like this. That was the old-fashioned way of warfare. If you read in history books, that's what they used to do before modern day, all kinds of other shtick that they pulled. So and you dug a little hole and you went down into it, so the bullets would whiz over your head. You would poke your head out, shoot a little, and then go down again. Now, there's no atheist in a foxhole, meaning when you need God, when the bullets are whizzing over your head, you remember God. If you're a farmer and you plant your seeds and you're waiting for it to rain, remember, it's not that if it doesn't rain, you could turn on your tap and get it from the water company. Right? If it doesn't rain, then you don't have food and your family doesn't have food to eat. When you're waiting for it to rain, there's no atheist in the rainy season. You're davening to Hashem for the rain. Okay, if your crops are growing, you're worried about pestilence, you're worried about locusts, you're worried about anything that can happen. There could be a fire, chas v'shalom, once it gets dry. There's no atheist. You pray to Hashem. Once you get it all, you gather all in ba'asbecha. You put the wine in the barrels and put it inside your house. You put the grain in big sacks and put it in your house. The money's in the bank. Once the money's in the bank, all of a sudden, I worked hard. I deserve it. You know, I took care of myself. I can handle this myself. I don't need any help. Thank you very much. All of a sudden, someone could forget God. Someone could get very haughty and forget, be so impressed by their own efforts and by the fruits of their efforts, they forget where it comes from. I mean, that is the timeless. That is the predicament. Maybe that was the predicament of our ancestors 3,000 years ago, once a year. That is the predicament of modern man every day, right? We have everything. Do we worry about what we're going to eat? Plenty of us worry about our parnassas. Plenty of us worry about our parnassa. But does anyone worry that their kids are going to starve to death because they won't have bread to feed them over the next year? No. We all have our things we're worried about. We take care of ourselves. And many of us, Baruch Hashem, we have nice jobs. It's kavua. We get a salary. We support ourselves, which is great. And we have modern technology to help us out, right? If it doesn't rain, so we open the tap and we get as much water as we want. And we pay, we pay 10 shekel a cubic meter, shkoyach. It's still not that much. If we, whatever we want, we just go buy it in the supermarket. We take care of ourselves. It's very easy when things are going well. And Baruch Hashem, modern man, things are going well 90% of the time. Things go well a lot more now than they did 3,000 years ago. It's very easy to forget that there's someone behind the scenes giving us everything that we have. So what does the Rashbam say? Leman tizku ki vasuko toshavti b'nei shalom barabim shanah b'lo yishav lo nachla. Remember that you were in huts, you were wandering through a desert for 40 years without any civilization, without any inheritance, without a country. Remember, you didn't always have this land. You didn't always have a country. You were wandering the desert in huts. You needed God. Remember that God gave you what you have. Yes, you grew your own food. Why? Because Hashem gave you a land to grow it, and Hashem gave you rain to make it grow. Because Hashem took care of you. When we talk, and therefore you should thank Hashem who gave you everything you have. And don't say, it's my own might and my own talent that made me my money. Seder as an insert parshat Ekev Tishmon. That's what it says in parshat Ekev. Zachartet kol aderech shorolich Hashem lekech zarbim shana viachilcha taman etc. V'laman imitzav lechal lazot ki Hashem lekech miyachal eretz tova viachal tov zot v'ran levech shachach lad Hashem. Remember what was going on in the midbar, because Hashem's bringing you to Israel, and you might forget it. Right? Remember the man. Right? It's interesting. Let's finish this. V'lechein yotzim mibatim leim kol tov zanasifa. Therefore, what do we do? The one day when we should lock ourselves in our house, because we have everything, everything's taken care of, the money's in the bank, lock our houses, enjoy it, we leave our houses, we yoshim sukkot, and we sit in huts. Remember, we didn't always have fancy houses. We didn't always have nice houses. We didn't always have a land. We didn't always have a parnasa. Hashem brought us to where we are. Etc. Says Rashbam, that's why we celebrate in the fall. We celebrate in the fall not just to remember Yitzhak Mitzrayim, but to remember the timeless message. The timeless message of Yitzhak Mitzrayim is not to take what we have for granted. Is that we didn't always have it. And we don't necessarily deserve it, and we couldn't have had it on our own. It all comes from Hashem. The one message that modern man perhaps needs is, until I get to the next part of the shiur, it's another message that modern man needs. But at this point, the one message that modern man needs is, don't take what you have for granted just because of your technology, just because of your economy. Realize Hashem's behind it every step of the way. When you have your beautiful house and it's starting to rain and you say, I'm okay, I can close my shutters, I can close my door and be protected and enjoy my nice lifestyle and my fancy house, and all of our houses are fancy compared to what once was, compared to Midbar Sinai, leave your house, go sit in a hut. Go live in a hut. Live simply. Be exposed to the elements. Get wet when it rains and realize that we're all living in a hut. Olam Hazeh is one big Dirat Arai, is merely an ephemeral stage in our lives. Nothing is guaranteed. Everything is from Hashem. If we wake up every morning, we're healthy, it's from Hashem. If we have bread to put on the table, it is from Hashem. If we have a house to live in, it's from Hashem. Go outside once a year and remember that we didn't always have this, that we shouldn't take it for granted, that not everyone has it, and not everyone did, and not everyone, even to this day, not everyone has it, and appreciate what Hashem gives us. And that's, of course, that's not just about ancient history, that's the yisod of most of Judaism. After all, what do we do every day? We make a bracha every time we eat. We make a bracha and we say, thank you, Hashem, because it seems so simple and obvious to me, but really everything needed Hashem's involvement to get me there. The apple wouldn't have grown if Hashem hadn't made it grow. And forget that I wouldn't have been able to eat the apple if I hadn't, right, had the fortune, rather, if Hashem hadn't made me born into a civilized country where I would have a parnasa, where I would be brought up, where I would have money to afford to buy an apple, where I would live in a country with supermarkets that sell healthy food products. Everything we have is from Hashem, and we can't take that for granted. And maybe that's why it's in the fall. The moment when you take everything for granted, stop and remember that you once didn't have. That's the Rashbam's shot. I think there's one more, time allows us, perhaps one more timeless insight into Sukkot, and that's an aspect we perhaps neglected until now. If I asked you, we started with the question of, let's remember, why is Sukkot in Tishrei in the fall instead of in the spring? So first we had a few technical answers. Then the Rashbam says, it's because it's not just remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim. It's remembering where all the good we have comes from. Where all the good things that we have in our life come from. Our ancestors needed to remember that in the harvest season, when the money was in the bank, and that's when they remember it all comes from Hashem. That's when they remember that they go out and feel vulnerable in a sukkah, because we're all vulnerable in this world, and we need Hashem to protect us, to be Porei Sukkot Shlomo above us. However, there's another aspect of the month of Tishrei. If I ask you of the month of Tishrei, what do you think of? Do you first think of Sukkot?
No.
What do you think of? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Maybe Sukkot is connected to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Maybe Sukkot is in this season because it has something to do with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Could that be? So already there are hints to this in the Midrash. Says the Midrash number 7, Vayikra Rabbah. Amar Rav Avin. Mashal Shnayim Shenichsu Eitzel HaDayon. He brings a mashal. Two people go into a judge. The letan yodin man hu notzech. We don't know who won. The two people are the Jews and their enemies, right? Go, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, into the judge. The shofei kalar to Hashem. Are we going to win, or chas v'shalom, the opposite? Eleman denasa bayim biyadei an yodin din schaya. How do we know when they leave the court? Whoever's holding their spears aloft in celebration, we know they won the din. Kach yishovu min ha'olam bon mekatnin teherosh baruch hu Rosh Hashanah. Likewise, the Jews and their enemies go and argue in front of Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. We don't know who won. The Jews come out with their lulav and etrog. They wave their victory signs of a lulav and etrog. That's how we know they won the din. The Medrash is not talking about Sukkah yet. But it says, why do we shake a lulav and etrog? There are many, many reasons. One additional reason is we're celebrating the victory of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We're celebrating our victory, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We don't have time to read it inside, but number 8, the Nitziv in his Pirush HaMikdavar, tries to extend that to Sukkah. He says, in the old days, when an army would go and win a battle, they would raise their spears and swords aloft and shake them to show their victory, and they would camp out in tents on the way back to have a victory party. So we go, we camp out in tents like a victorious army to show that we won the din of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Okay. Could be that Sukkot has something to do, this Man Simchaseinu, with celebrating our success in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's optimistic, right? We're assuming that we succeeded and we got a good din. That's good. Our religion is about being optimistic. But it does... What? It's not what the Torah says, exactly. The Torah says, Kiva Sukkot of Shavti Epinei Shrabot Yotami Yitzrayim, because we lived in Sukkot in the Midbar Sinai when we left Mitzrayim. So the question is, like, it's nice, the Medrash only talks about lulav and etrog. Then it simply says, we live in Sukkot in the season because we are victorious. We're celebrating the victory in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But the question is, does that, can we find a remez, a hint, a source for that in the Pasuk? Pasuk said it had to do with living in Sukkot. What would living in Sukkot have to do with Yom Kippur? So there's a very famous Grun number 9, who, maybe because the hour is already getting a little late, I will just summarize without reading inside, but you can take it home and read to your read at your leisure. The Grun is Pirush on the Hir Kol Eliyahu and Vayikra. I think he originally wrote it on Shir Shirim. He says that if you work out the chronology, very, very clever, he says, Hashem gave them Anani Akava and they left Mitzrayim. But when they did the Chei HaEgel, when they sinned with the Egel HaZahav, he took away the Anonim. When did they get it back? Says, well, anyone know when Moshe finally came down with the final forgiveness from Har Sinai? On Yom Kippur. And then what was the next thing he did? Rashi says on Chumash, he commanded the Jews what? To collect for the Mishkan. They collected for the Mishkan. He commanded them on the 11th of Tishrei to collect for the Mishkan. It says Yom Yom, or sorry, Baboker Baboker, 2 days, the 12th and 13th, they gathered all the stuff they needed to build the Mishkan. On the 14th, Moshe divvied it out. On the 15th, they started building the Mishkan, and as a reward, the Ananiah Kavod came back. Okay, got it all worked out. The Ananiah Kavod came back after the Chet HaEgel. We were finally forgiven on the 15th of Tishrei. It's a lot of speculation in there as well. What I'd like to do is see if we can perhaps find a source in Pshat in the Psukim. Maybe not for the exact chronology of the Gra, but for the idea of the Gra. Could we somehow tie this into Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, to what they did after Yom Kippur? But could we find a source for that in Pshat in the Psukim? And to do that, I want to start by pointing out something that I only noticed when I was 30 years old. I went through 30 years of my life. Okay, the first few I have an excuse. You know, I was too young to talk, etc. And then perhaps didn't really know how to analyze well for a couple of years there. But I never really paid attention. So let me see if anyone else here noticed. We celebrate Anani HaKavod, right? What is Anani HaKavod? What's so great about Anani HaKavod? That they're miraculous, right? There were clouds, they protect us from the sun, the one on the bottom killed snakes and scorpions, and even leveled all the potholes and bumps, and they protected us from our enemies all around. It was really amazing. Okay, what word is strange in the Shulchan Aruch about Anani HaKavod? What word would you not necessarily have picked? Okay, good, I'm not the only one. Okay, but then all of a sudden it hit me. How about Kavod? Why Anani HaKavod? What is Kavod? Honor? Glory? Honor? What does it have to do with honor and glory? We're not celebrating honor. We're celebrating the fact that a miracle was done and we were protected in the desert. We were protected from all the dangers of the desert for 40 years. That Hashem took care of us in our every need. What's the honor about this? Like, why are we talking about honor? We seem to be talking about very, very important miracles that helped us survive through a dangerous desert, right? No one believed you could go through the desert. Yirmiyah says that to this day, Klal Yisrael have a zechut, that we followed Hashem to the desert, which didn't make any sense. How can you go through a desert, right? The sun, and there's no water, etc. You'll just die of thirst immediately. How much water can you carry to the desert? So we know, well, they had a miraculous well, and a miraculous this, a miraculous that. But Hashem took care of us in the desert. That's a miracle. Who needs the kavod? Like, you know what? I'm mochel the kavod. You keep the kavod. Just help me survive this desert for 40 years. I'll be very happy. You can give the kavod to someone else who appreciates it more. What's the kavod? So what's the answer? So it hit me. Kavod means something specific in Chumash. What does kavod mean in the Chumash? Where is kavod always used in the Chumash? V'inei kavod Hashem. When the Torah talks about kavod, I know it doesn't talk about, I don't know, what happens in the Middle East, like, oh, dishonoring your family and honoring your family. That's not, kavod is not used in that sense in the Chumash. Obviously, that's a meaning of the word, but that's not what it means in the Chumash. Kavod doesn't mean you have better yichus than someone else. That's not how it's used in the Chumash. Kavod in the Chumash means v'inei kavod Hashem. Right? Kvod Hashem means what we call the Shekhinah, the divine presence, the presence of Hashem, the closeness of Hashem. And not only does Kavod mean Kvod Hashem, the presence of Hashem, what does Anan mean in the Chumash? What does a cloud mean in the Chumash? All places but one. What does a cloud mean in the Chumash? Anyone think of a pasuk that has a cloud in the Chumash? Think of a pasuk with a cloud. No cheating by looking. What? The Mishkan, right? Uchvod Hashem nira be'anan, right? What? Vaychas ha'anan et ha'mishkan. What is it? Amazing. Anan in Chumash. Well, there's one perhaps exception, perhaps not, we won't go into now, towards the very beginning. But anan in Chumash almost never means a cloud like with rain that we imagine. You would think the Chumash would talk about rain sometimes. Anan almost never means a rain cloud. It always means a cloud of Shekhinah, of divine presence, of Hashem resting amongst us. I'll just look at a few psukim here. Sorry, we'll go a little out of order. Number 17. V'hik daber aron kal dapne shol v'ifnu al hamidbar v'nei kvod Hashem the kavod nirah be'anan. Number 18, Vahi b'yom shlibi yod haboker, talking about the theophany at Har Sinai. Vahi kolot barkim v'anan kaved al har. How did Hashem appear in Har Sinai? With a cloud. 19, Vahi k'vom sha'ola yirid amod ha'anan v'yamod petach ha'ol v'dibar Moshe. When Moshe went to the Ol Moed, the cloud came down and Hashem talked to Moshe from the cloud. 20, Vayir Hashem be'anan, we said this a lot in Aser Yimei Tshuva. Vayitzev Moshamei k'rav Hashem Hashem. Hashem came down in an Anan, 21. Okay, we get the point. Anan Yakovod clearly is not, all of a sudden, Anan Yakovod is not about the miracles of protecting us from the sun or from the rain or from the enemies or from anything else. Anan Yakovod seems to be something a little deeper. Anan Yakovod is about, and not that I fully understand what this means, but it's about Hashem's presence being revealed amongst us. Do I know exactly what it means for Hashem's presence to be revealed amongst us? No. But I know it means something about having a tremendous feeling of spirituality and closeness to Hashem, closer and more spiritual and more deep than anything we normally achieve at our more spiritual and deep moments. Anan Yakovod, the machloket between Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Akiva, is not whether they lived in thatched huts or in miraculous huts. It's about whether it's celebrating the physical huts or it's celebrating the Kvod Hashem, the presence of Hashem. Anan Yakovod then has nothing to do with dwelling places and huts and protection at all. Anan Yakovod is about Hashem's presence dwelling amongst us. Now one might ask, how did that come from the word Kibas Sukkot Hoshavti Ibn Israel? Why would Sukkah mean Hashem's presence? So let's ask a simple question. What does Sukkah mean in Tanakh? Anyone think of a word Sukkah in Tanakh? So go to 13. These are getting a little harder. Tehillim, Vayhi v'shalem suko umonato b'tzion. His sukkah was in Shalem Yushalayim, and his home was in Tzion. What does sukkah mean here? What is Hashem's sukkah and ma'on that was in Yushalayim? The Beit HaMikdash. Sukkah in Tehillim means the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, what does it mean in Megillos? 14, Eicha. Vayachmos kagan suko shichet mo'ado. And Hashem, he destroyed like a garden his sukkah. What did he destroy in Megillat Eicha? The Beit HaMikdash. All of a sudden, sukkah in Tanakh does not just mean a hut. Sukkah in Tanakh refers to the Beit HaMikdash, refers to the place where Hashem's glory is revealed. Let's go back to the Chumash. Where do you find the root word sukkah in the Chumash? Anyone who hasn't looked yet. The word sukkah, other than in the Chag HaSukkot, is not in the Chumash. Where is the root word lesakech found in the Chumash? Is anyone misakech anything? Exactly, the Aron Kodesh, number 15, Vahia Kruvim Porsekna Fain Lamala, the Kruvim above the Aron Kodesh, that was where Hashem dwelled, right? Hashem's presence was revealed, right? Me'al Aron Ha'idot Ben Shnei Kruvim. Porsekna Fain Lamala, they spread their wings up, Sochechin, they made a sukkah. They made Tzchach, B'chan Fehem Ala Kaporet. The wings of the Kruvim were the Tzchach over the sukkah of the Aron Kodesh in the middle of the Kodesh Kodeshim in the Mishkan. Likewise, 16, the parochet, the curtain that divided the Kodesh from Kodesh Kodeshim, was called a schach. Clearly in Chumash, it could be that Rabbi Akiva or Rabbi Eliezer, whoever it was not making up interesting midrashim, but was attuned to nuances of the omek hapshat of the Chumash. What is a sukkah? Mekiva sukkot oshat ibn Israel. He said, look, the Torah talks about us being in Sukkot. But what Sukkot? Sukkot weren't discussed elsewhere. There's no story that says, and they lived in Sukkot, and therefore remember they lived in Sukkot. What is the importance and remnants of these Sukkot? So he says, what does Sukkot ultimately mean? Sukkot ultimately means not just where you live, a habitation, shelter from the elements. Sukkot means Ufros aleinu sukkat shlomecha, like we say in the davening, HaPorei sukkat shalom aleinu v'kolam Yisrael. It means Hashem's presence, Hashem's loving presence amongst us. It means Hashem's embrace. That's what a sukkah means. A sukkah doesn't mean protection from the elements. It means Hashem's embrace, which of course protects us from the elements. Sukkah is referring to the Mishkan, to the Beit HaMikdash. to the Shechina amongst us. And that's why we paskin that Sukkah refers to Ananei HaKavod. Sukkah refers to not the favors Hashem did for us in protecting us alone. The favors Hashem did for us in protecting us are merely one practical ramification of the real cause for celebration, which is Hashem's embrace, that Hashem dwelt amongst us, that Hashem gave us the opportunity to be close to Him, that Hashem made us feel spiritual and feel close to Him, and gave us the opportunity for ruchniyat, for the meaning and spirituality in our lives. That's really Ananei HaKavod. That's the glory. It's the glory of it. Yes, Hashem protected us, but we're not celebrating the fact that otherwise we would have been killed and been unprotected. That's also worth celebrating. But the main thing we're celebrating is the glory of it, that it's Hashem who is with us, who took care of us, that we have a close relationship with Hashem, that we have Hashem in our lives. And ultimately, I think here, and this is also explicit in the Gemara number 23, I'll mention, 22, there's another parallel. What did they do when they built the Mishkan? Upetach omwe teshvu yomam balay shvat yamim. What did they do? They teshvu shivat yamim. They lived for 7 days, Aaron and his sons, in the Mishkan when they first built it. Exactly like we do in a sukkah. That's why in Marker 24, the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Mekubalim that every sukkah is a little like a Beit HaMikdash. It says the sukkah is very holy. Be careful what you do in it. Don't tell Lashon Hara in the sukkah like you do in your home all year long. All right, like, oh, I do. I'm not going to accuse anyone else. The sukkah is like a mini Beit HaMikdash. Of course, those who've learned in Yeshiva Lulav HaGazel will remember the Ritva who tells us that the Lulav and Etrog are like a karban. Ba'am l'ratzot, that's what the Psul Mitzvah of Avera, the Lulav and Etrog are like a karban, then we understand why the Mekubalim always shake Lulav and Etrog in the sukkah, not in shul. First in the sukkah, before you go to shul, because you bring a karban to the Beit HaMikdash. Says the Gemara number 23, how do we know? Anyone want to tell me? Last question. How tall does a sukkah have to be? 10 tefachim. How do we know? The Gemara says, of course I'll tell you how we know. Because the Kruvim were 10 tefachim above. They are, and what's the quintessential sukkah is the Kruvim over the Shechina of the Beit HaMikdash. If that was 10 tefachim tall, then our Sukkot would have to be 10 tefachim tall. Ultimately, if you ask me why Sukkot in Tishrei, I think the answer might now be obvious. Sukkot is not celebrating just that we left Mitzrayim or that Hashem took care of our physical needs. It's celebrating the fact that He gave us the opportunity to have a relationship with Him, that He dwelt amongst us, that He's close to us, that we have this opportunity for spirituality, for ruchniyot in our lives. When did that come about? When we built the Mishkan, which is in Tishrei, like the Gra says, but even more so. When are we all ready to celebrate that spirituality? When are we ready to celebrate not just our achievements in farming in the old days, but our achievements in spirituality, in Ruchniyat, and coming close to Hashem? The answer is clearly not in Nisan, but in Tishrei, after Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur. How could you just go in the middle of the year, in Chanukah, Purim, Pesach, and start celebrating something we haven't been working on? You know, spirituality doesn't come easy. I think really the deepest answer might be after we've worked for Aseret Yemei Tshuva and we've grown in spirituality, come closer to Hashem. Now we appreciate that. We celebrate it. We say, thank you, Hashem, for giving us not just to leave Mitzrayim to have a nation, not just to give us what we have in Gashmiyat. Thank you for giving us the spirituality we've achieved over this Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Now we're celebrating it by leaving our houses and going to live in a little mikdash with you for 7 days. And maybe the timeless lesson of Sukkot is that in addition to celebrating all the physical things Hashem does for us, like the Rashbam and everyone else explained, celebrate the spirituality that we worked very hard to achieve through Yom Kippur. Celebrate the fact that Asher Hatabachartanu Mikol Amim VeKidashtanu VeMitzvotecha VeGeravtanu Malkeinu LaTorotecha. And Bezrat Hashem, we should all be Zocheh Bezrat Hashem next year to celebrate together the real deepest Hashra Ashkenan, the Beit HaMikdash, together. B'mheirav Yameinu. Thank you, everyone else, for participating, and have a Chag Sameach the rest of your Chag. Good to see you.
Good to see you. How are you?
Great. Baruch Hashem. Oh, thank you for coming.